Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity again to gather around for fellowship and for the word of God. Let the word of God prevail mightily. Let it prosper in our hearts. Let it guide our hearts. You know, let it be indeed a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we declare, as always, you know, the entrance of your word. Let it bring in light and let it give us understanding even this day in Jesus' name. And let the Lord be glorified. Amen and amen. So today, I want to bring together these three things that walk together. Providence, faith, and mercy. There's a little discussion in the room yesterday about mercy. We want to look at providence. We want to look at faith and mercy, how they walk together. We've, you know, been talking about faith quite a bit. And even yesterday's lesson, you know, was, you know, also about faith. You know, daring to believe God for all the things that he has promised. Unusual faith that can bring uncommon results. But then let's see how providence and mercy play into that mix. First of all, providence, there are many definitions for it, the way the dictionary brings it out. But I'll tell you the one that I want to talk about. You know, one definition for providence says that it's the protective care of God, you know, as a spiritual power. It talks about nature, but I don't want that one. We have to give the glory to God. But I want to talk about providence as one of God's great attributes. It's his very nature, his eternal nature that, you know, allows him to have foreknowledge of everything. And providence is, in another way of looking at providence, is when someone makes a timely preparation for things that are yet to happen. Well, the providence of God always works to protect God's interests. Even in our own personal lives, you know, whatever people call destiny and so forth, well, God's providence will watch over that destiny, especially protect it for his children and the things that align with his eternal purpose. So I want us to look at providence from God's perspective as, you know, part of his foreknowledge, you know, because he knows everything in advance, is able to make provision, whether it's a way of escape, whether it's an answer, whether it's to, you know, provide a solution, because of his foreknowledge, the great foreknowledge of God, actually the complete foreknowledge of God. As we often say that God cannot learn anything new. He already knows everything that there is to know. And in his mind dwells everything. And he never forgets a thing. So because he has complete foreknowledge and grasp of everything, he's able to completely take care of our needs. Even things that come upon us suddenly never came upon him suddenly. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, Psalm 90 and verse 2. Or ever before thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, God was there before anything began. He knew everything and still knows everything. You know, Isaiah declares it, you know, this way, that God is able in his foreknowledge to tell even the end from the beginning. The book of Isaiah chapter 46 verses 9 and 10, it says, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, you know, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none else. None like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. So he knows the end like that, you know, from the beginning. Think of that as his providence working and making preparation, you know, many times, powerfully, beautifully orchestrating things to come into alignment with his will. And knowing the future, knowing how everything plays out, you know, you might say that, you know, God is at a vantage point always. I mean, you know, there is nothing that can happen that he didn't already know. If we have that kind of confidence, you know, then we know that everything that we are going through or might go through or might face in the future, your God already knows about. Isaiah 43 verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there's no God formed. Neither shall there be any after me. I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no savior. I have declared and I have saved. That's right. And I have showed, even when there was no strength God among you, that ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. You know, and he said, before the day was, I am he. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. And I will walk, and who shall let it? Now, that's his providence in action. You know, before the day began, he already arranged everything. Masterly, masterfully orchestrating everything to fall into place, you know. And Isaiah 40, Isaiah has a lot to say about these things. Isaiah 40 verse 28, you know, we speak of this verse quite a bit, but let's look at it in the context of, you know, his foreknowledge and his providence. Hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, it's just infinite. And he knows everything that there is to know. Praise the Lord. Psalm 147, the psalmist also expressing his own thoughts, you know, about how God not only foreknows, but also, you know, has the capacity, you know, to bring things to pass. He said, great is our Lord. Right, see? Psalm 147 verse 5. And of great power has that capacity. His understanding is infinite. You know, I mean, there is no searching. There is no end to it. He knows everything that there is to know. Praise the Lord. And he is the one, thankfully, with whom we have to do. Now, because of this providence, once we understand it, it actually can give us confidence in our ways before the Lord. Here's another thing that the Lord says in Hebrews chapter 4 and 13. There is nothing that is hidden from his sight. Say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest. In other words, made wide open before him in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I mean, he sees it all. He knows it all, you know. And everything and anything, he knows it all. Jesus himself also, exhibited, great foreknowledge of situations. In the book of John, chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, we are told that he knew of this man, this impotent man of 38 years. He knew that the man had been long time in that condition. And so Jesus knew it. And even before the man had that encounter, Jesus already knew it. Praise the Lord. And at times, he demonstrated also his foreknowledge. You know, he would say to Nathaniel, Hebrew indeed, in whom there is no God. The man say, well, how do you know me? So, well, before your friend called you when you were under that tree, I saw you. He said, oh, yeah. And then one time he said to his disciples, I want you to go to such and such a place. You will find such and such a thing. Find a colt, and you find an ass, a donkey, and tied, and you lose it, and you bring it. And if anyone will say unto you such and such, this is the answer. I mean, he knew all these things. One time he sent them to go make preparation. He said, go into such a place, and you will ask for this, and they will show you an upper room that's already prepared. He already knew everything. And today, we rejoice in the knowledge that our God knows everything. Now, that's the reason why he cannot fail. I mean, Jesus had 100% success in whatever situation he was healing or setting the people free from. God anointed him with that power. He went about doing all the good that was recorded of him. And 100% all the time, because he already had complete foreknowledge of all things and followed the Father, whatever the Father showed him. Now, there are some things that God has been doing for us and will do for us in our lives even before we knew the Lord. That's providence. When we come into this world and we are born into this world, we don't have any knowledge of God to start with. But yet the providence of God will protect us, keep us from evil. And those that God has ordained, he will keep them one way or another. He will give instructions, protect them. The providence will protect. It's God's continuous act to make provision, to protect his purpose and make sure it comes to pass. That's providence. For the people, some stories that we have read in the Bible, how God in his mind knew that he would choose Moses to be the deliverer to bring the children of Israel out of that place that they had suffered for 400 years. Knowing that, God made provision to protect Moses, even when there was a decree to kill all the males, children of the land. God gave his mother wisdom and his sister, and they made a little ark, put him in there and set him upon the river Nile and just watched. And by God's providence, Pharaoh's sister came along and got a hold of the child and so forth. The rest of the story. God making that provision to keep the child, even when there was evil all around him. The child didn't know anything about God. It wasn't because he had faith or anything. It was God's providence that was working. The little child, Jesus, also, when he was born, Moses went through a type of the same things that Jesus would go through. In the time of Jesus also, there was a decree, just like it was in time of Moses, to kill all the young men. And God, by providence, came and instructed Joseph. In the night, by dream, he said, take the your wife and the young child and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again. You know, for there are those that seek the young life, the young child's life, to destroy. And so providence was guiding the young man, even at a baby age. Providence was protecting the people. Providence was protecting you too, before you even knew the Lord. Many of us cast our minds back to times of significant deliverances in our lives, either from accident or situation that put us in jeopardy of even losing our lives, even when we didn't know the Lord, and the Lord just saved us, preserved us, until such a point, then when we start to know about the Lord, and then when we start to learn about Him and know about Him, then we begin to place our faith in Him. But before faith came, there was providence. So this is the connection I want to bring today. Before faith came, there was providence in our lives. You know, God watching over our lives, even the places where we were born into, the families we were born into. I mean, we had no say in the matter. You know, God's providence doing all of that before faith came. Now, when faith came, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but you couldn't have faith unless in Him. You couldn't place your faith in Christ unless you knew about Him. So when we began to learn about Christ, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, when we begin to learn about God, begin to learn about Christ, we begin to put our faith in Him. The only way that people can be saved, you know, from the wrath of God and from the punishment, eternal separation from God for the sin nature, is to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You know, and if you place your faith in Christ, then Jesus said, whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast him out. But before faith came, there was providence in your lives. In my life, there was providence. And even sometimes, by the mercy and grace of God, God may even foresee and show someone's birth ahead of time, either to parents, either to someone that the Lord will show it to, or this and this and this. It was all providence. And the people in the Bible that angels came and spoke this and this to their parents before they were born, it's all providence. The person himself didn't know anything about it. And the providence of God was working in place before faith came. I want to establish that point. Now, once faith came, now we have to now use our faith. See, and one way of, you know, making your faith grow is knowing that, look, when I didn't even have faith, when I didn't even know Him, He took care of me. You know, so that's the relationship between providence and faith. Before faith came, providence was there looking after you. And now that faith is there, you know, why not then know within yourself by faith that He that took care of you when you didn't even know Him, He take care of you more so now. Praise the Lord. So that's the relationship that I want to bring today for us to consider between providence and faith. Now, faith in itself is a powerful subject, you know. In fact, if you have and you can develop your faith, it can actually work to the point that it's almost like God's foreknowledge. I've said it before. You know, what God has is foreknowledge and providence working in His mind. What we have, we don't have that kind of foreknowledge. What we have is faith. You know, so if God already foreknows everything, already foresees everything, there's no need for Him to be using faith. He already knows. I mean, if I know everything, this is the reason why God doesn't let us know everything. If I knew how everything was going to play out, I just know it and I've seen it and it's going to be exactly that. What's the point for me to have faith? It's going to happen anyway. You know? So no, God hides that stuff from us. So we can have to believe. Now he knows everything and he knows how it's going to play out. He's already seen it happen even thousands of years before it happened. And he has perfect recall of everything. So he never forgets it. So he knows exactly how it's going to play out. And he can say it. That's why when God says something that's going to happen in the future, it's not, God doesn't predict anything. He just says it the way it is. It's men that make predictions. We may make prediction, this and this and this. God doesn't make prediction. He just tells you the way it is because he already knows exactly how it's going to be. Now, we don't have that kind of foreknowledge. I don't. You don't. But we have faith. And if you know how to use your faith, you can almost approximate his foreknowledge because you put your faith in his providential foreknowledge. That's it. Knowing that God already knows everything. You see, what I'm going through now, the prayer that I'm about to make for something that I will hear about during the day. See, let's say you hear some disturbing news during the day and you are going to pray about it. Before you made that prayer, before that thing happened, God already knew it. You know, so when you have that kind of understanding and that kind of faith in his providence, so then you know that, look, even before I prayed, he heard that prayer. And so that gives me boldness when I pray to know that not only did he hear it, he's going to do it because he already, nothing took him by surprise. Praise the Lord. You know, so by my faith, I can approximate God's foreknowledge. God will never share with us everything he knows. In fact, our mind will blow, literally. You can't, you know, you cannot handle the knowledge of God. You know, even the things that God knows about the sufferings of men, if God were to share that with you, you would completely drown. You can't do it. You know, sometimes through the gifts of the Spirit, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge and things like that, and even sometimes the gifts of healing, God will make you experience some pain that the people going through, you will understand it, you know, and so forth, to bring that thing out. But we can never be exposed to the expanse of his knowledge. Can't handle it. You know, so he gives us a small, you know, it's a small word. It's not the gift of knowledge, it's the gift of word of knowledge. Just gives you a drop. And same thing with word of wisdom. Yeah, you can't have it all. It drops a little bit. That's all we can handle. You know, but when we know how to use our faith and put our faith in his providence, that's how you can develop your faith. Remember, before faith came, there was providence. And faith is a subject that we have dealt with all over the place. By faith, you know, Abraham did all the things, believed God against all odds. We talked about that just yesterday. Romans 4, verses 17 to 22. Who against all odds believed God. And then all the things we read in the book of Hebrews 11. By faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith the other thing happened, and so on and so forth. You know, I mean, faith, once faith came, we began to walk in faith, and it's my powerful testimonies of so many people, and yours too. And Hebrews 11 verse 6, we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Lord. Now, that's when faith came. Before faith came, it was his providence that was working on your behalf when you didn't even know anything. Now, there comes a time also that even after faith came, your faith might fail. That's where mercy kicks in. So I'm trying to bring it all in context. Now, these three, you know, you might call it confidence three waves. You know, yeah, learned confidence in his providence even before I knew he was taking care of me. I've learned confidence now through my faith because I know that God loves faith. And when we believe him, sanctify his word, he will honor it. But I also have confidence in him that even when my faith fails, and there are times it will fail, the mercy of God will kick in. Now, we've seen situations in the scriptures when faith failed. But the mercy of God kicked in for providence to protect that destiny. Now, it was the destiny of Abraham to have a son by Sarah, not by the bondwoman, because God already foresaw it and said it. But even when they struggled, even when Sarah struggled with it, the mercy of God kicked in providence to watch over that word, fulfill it. And God just dismissed, you know, their wishy-washy mind. God dismissed it. In some cases, we've seen him do that. And it came through nevertheless. Even when they didn't quite comprehend and believe him to the extent that he wanted, mercy kicked in. We saw the mercy of God, the Lord Jesus, that kicked in for Martha's brother Lazarus that had died. She couldn't understand that Jesus could bring him out of the grave. She thought that Jesus was talking about the resurrection at the last day. And she was thinking so many other things. And Jesus was trying to tell her that your brother can come out of this grave right now. But she couldn't comprehend it. But yet, the mercy of God kicked in. Now, sometimes, you know, we hide behind, well, okay, the person didn't have faith and all of that. Well, yeah, but you need faith. You know, you need faith to be healed. You need faith to anything, because Hebrews 11:6 says so. You know, if you are coming to God, you must believe in God's capacity to do it. Or believe that he is. That means he's God and he exists with capacity to do the thing that you are believing God for. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we must use our faith. But, you know, there are times when it's not so much faith. Now, by the grace of God, to the glory of God, even before I knew it, as a young child, I was someone that, you know, just knew how to operate faith. I didn't know it was faith at the time. I didn't know anything about it. But just some strange things were happening around me. I'm not going through all the details, but I will tell you one, you know, notable one that I remembered being about maybe 5 or 6 years old. You know, I just had this understanding that I could ask for rain or tell it to stop or start and so on. I was playing with it and it was happening. I didn't know it was faith, you know, but, you know, when we were outside playing and, you know, it was going to rain, I don't know the words I said, but asked the rain to stop, it stopped. After a while, I said, well, cool, you know, rain, I let the rain start back and forth like that, you know. And then I rushed inside the house. Now, I'm last of many, you know, I had 2 brothers and 2 sisters at the time, so last of 5. And being a young child, I was just dismissed. You can't stop or start the rain. Get away from here. You know, I mean, rain just stopped by itself and rain started by itself. But it's like I knew within myself what happened. I didn't know anything about faith. It was just providence. And God was showing those things. Later on in life, I would find out after many, many years that God now gives me the faith and the ability, you know, in certain areas of weather, you know, whenever there is need for rain or no, I don't want it. Somehow, you know, I have the faith to believe for that. Even if other people don't believe for it. And God always honors it. But it was there even when I didn't know it. That's providence. And there's some other aspects too. Now, not 100%, but whatever it is that God has graced each person to have, a measure of faith. It was there before you even knew it. You know, so that's the same thing with everything, every other thing that God will bless us with. You might discover it later on. It's not just, oh, suddenly, you know, God learned something and then he put something in. No, it was there the whole time. It, you know, maybe you just didn't discover it. You know, so after you discover it, then you try to polish it, might work with it, you can work even better. And so forth. You practice it and so on. So faith and, you know, so when I began to understand faith, you know, I thought once I really began to understand faith, I thought that I had great faith. Actually, I thought so when I was a young man, that I had great faith. And God was honoring it. I think God found it humorous that I thought that. And so he honored it anyway, because God loves Jesus himself was, you know, impressed when he saw great faith. He didn't like it when people didn't have faith, you know. And then I used to think that it was because of my great faith that made great things to happen around me when I was a young man. A lot of great things happened. You know, and I thought it was because of my great faith. Well, as time went on in life, I started to figure out, I mean, I still had faith. I still had as much faith as I had before. But I started to realize that it really wasn't the greatness of my faith, but the greatness of my God, you know, when I grew older. It wasn't that your faith was so great, but your God was great. And all you need is a little faith in a great God. You don't need a lot of faith in a little God. That's not going to work. What you need is a little faith. Jesus said, even if you have a little faith, like a mustard seed. And I said, oh, see, then even my faith grew. Because now I remember that even when I didn't have faith and I didn't know him, providence was working in my life. And so it made me even my faith stronger. And then there were times, you know, I would hate to admit it, but it's true. There were times even when my so-called great faith didn't work, but the mercy of God kicked in, you know, the mercy of God. So to kick in even when your great faith or your little faith or whatever doesn't work for providential situations. Not for everything. In most cases, your faith is required to work. But that's really what God answers. It's not just prayer. It's faith that he answers. It's your faith that makes him do stuff for you. You know, you can cry all day long. If you don't have faith, it may not work. But sometimes the mercy of God will kick in. Now imagine this great trial, if you can put it together. Understanding providence, faith, and mercy. If you can put them all together, you can have tremendous power with God. And you can have tremendous results. Because now you understand that, look, even when before faith came, providence was guiding my life. Now that faith came, and providence knowing my future, I can put my faith in that providence. It's powerful stuff. Then, even when your faith fails, I mean, you believe for something, you know, things not coming to pass right away. The mercy of God at times will even kick in and take care of that situation. Now, that's confidence three ways. I have confidence in his ability and capacity for his foreknowledge and providence to watch over situations. I have confidence in his word because faith in his word and in my heart tells me that, you know, if I put my faith in him, that's how people get saved. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you can't be born again and you can't be saved. And, you know, same thing. You put your faith in his word for what it is you're believing God for. And then sometimes there is a struggle with that. Many times, unfortunately for many people, There's a struggle. And then you take that faith, you sandwich it between providence and mercy. You sandwich your faith in there and you have tremendous results, because you know, not only was providence taking care of you before faith came, the same providence is knowing about, same providence take care of future. You are here today. Providence was there before you recognized God. And where you are today, providence already knows your future. You know, and if you can put it all together like that, it's powerful stuff. And then, there are moments when it's the mercy of the Lord. You just have to pray for his mercy. Remember, the greatest attribute that God showed us in the Old Testament, by all the depictions and various things, when he was talking to Moses in Exodus 34, and Moses said, "Lord, I want to know you more." He's seen all those great miracles and everything, but yet he wanted more. And the Lord said, "Go stand over here and I'll show you." And then he passed by, began to tell him things. And we're told that, Exodus 35, 4 and 5, that the Lord proclaimed the name of the Lord himself. Now telling Moses about himself. And he gave himself some names. He said, "The Lord God, merciful." See, that was the first thing out of his mouth about himself after he mentioned who he was. It's like you introduce yourself. "I am such and such." Introduce yourself. "Well, I am the Lord God." The next thing out of his mouth is merciful and gracious. That's the next thing out of his mouth that he would say about himself. And then on top of it, we saw that he had shown Moses. He said, "Well, the things that I showed you in the mount," and so forth. And when he was telling him how to make all these things, in the most holy place, the highest point was the mercy seat. He said, "Put the mercy seat above the ark." So the mercy of God is his greatest attribute. No matter how you see it, in how he deals with us. We say God is love. Yeah, we know that's his love. But how he deals with us in giving us kindness and all these things, it's all his mercy. That's the greatest thing that he offered that came out of his word. The first words out of his mouth about himself. He said, "Go stand over there and I will proclaim to you the name of the Lord." And when he came there to proclaim the name of the Lord, he said it this way. Let me read it to you in Exodus 34 and see exactly what God said. And when you understand this, it'll give you tremendous faith in knowing that his mercy is always there, always has been, and that before you knew him, he was called providence. After your faith that you've known him, the mercy of God kicks in. It's now called mercy for you. Even when faith at times would fail. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there. Exodus 34 and verse 5. And proclaimed the name of the Lord. So that's God proclaiming his own name, not Moses telling us who God is, or somebody saying what God is to them. This is God talking about himself. And I said, the Lord proclaimed his own name. And what did he say? He said, the Lord passed by him and proclaimed about himself. He said, "The Lord," that's his name, "the Lord God," that's who he is. Then what about his attributes? The first attribute out of his mouth after he had proclaimed his name was merciful. That's it. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Isn't that beautiful? That is the mercy of God for us. That's how God is so great. He has shown us his mercy. Every part of him, you might call it every fiber in him, has to do with his mercy. First things out of his mouth: merciful and gracious, long suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's all attributes of his mercy. Keeping mercy for thousands. I mean, kept on just talking about this mercy. And I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. He told him in the earlier chapter. He said, you know, but because of his righteousness, he also will not by any means clear the guilty. But first, he put forward, I mean, people say put forward your best foot first. Well, he put forward his best attribute first. Now, if you receive the mercy and the grace of God, well, then you don't have to deal with his severity. Now, if people reject his mercy and reject his grace, because the grace of God teaches us to live a godly life, according to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and so on. Say, the grace of God, you know, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and all these worldly lusts, we should live godly, righteous, and sober life. So, our response to his grace is that we live righteous life. Our response to his grace is not for us to say, I can do anything I want because there is grace. No, that means you don't understand grace. Our response to his grace is to teach us to live a righteous life. That's the response. That's the proper response. Now, if you reject his mercy, though, and his grace, then unfortunately, you're going to have to deal with his severity because he's a righteous God. So he presents first his mercy, his graciousness, his long-suffering, and his goodness, and all these things. On the one hand, you receive that, then you don't have to deal with, you know, the judgment that is on the other side. So today we invite people, place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Put your faith in the Lord. Now, ever back on this subject, we say, look, providence, faith, and mercy. We can understand these three dimensions. Powerful stuff. You never wonder again in your mind what God is doing. Even when you don't see it, you know that he's working. You know, because when you didn't know him, providence was keeping you. Well, how much more now that you know him? And put your faith. See, faith is what you have now. Providence is what you didn't have. And he was keeping you anyway. Now, mercy is what, after even what you have now fails, his mercy kicks in. And so, you know, these three things help us to live a victorious life. Even when you're going through and there seems to be no answer, heaven seems to be brass, you seem like you are in darkness, there's no light, God's voice is nowhere to be heard, and so on and so forth. The understanding of these three aspects of, you know, our relationship with God will bring you through it. By understanding that even when before you knew him, his providence was keeping you. By understanding that by your faith, placing your faith in him, he has saved you. And by your faith, you have received many things from him in the past. And that this same providence, which was with you in the past before faith came, same providence knows your future. Because today, where you are, is past to your future. That's right. You know, 10 years, you know, 10 years in the future, today would be past tense. But today you're looking at it as future. You know, so in the same way, when you get to that future, well, the providence was already there. And so that's a powerful thing if you can understand it. And even after that faith came, and you knew faith, or you know him, or you are known of him, where I said, you know, and you understand these workings, there will be times that you try everything and the faith still seems like it's not working. what do you do then? Well, the answer is in Isaiah chapter 50. You know, it tells you, what do you do after you've tried everything? You've used your faith, you understand how God works, and so on and so forth, but yet it seems like you have no light. What do you do then? Who is among you that feareth the Lord? He says in Isaiah 50 and verse 10. You fear the Lord, you obey his voice, you do all these things, you're using your faith, you know, you're affirming his word, you're meaning what you say, you're expecting what you say, you're not doubting in your heart. I mean, you're doing everything. And still, it seems like you have no light and you are still in darkness. Well, the answer is this. Let him trust, see, in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Stay right there. Don't give an inch, because he's going to come through for you. It may not be in the schedule, or, you know, on the schedule that we were thinking, but at his own schedule, our God will come. And he always saves the day. He always has one more move to save the day. But this understanding of how these three perspectives work for you will help you to stand on stronger ground with God. I now know, and you should too, that before faith came, in other words, before you knew him, he was there guiding and protecting you anyway. And he was protecting your providence. And let me explain a little more about providence. You know, providence will watch over God's choice for your life, even when you know nothing about it. Even just because you are not preparing for it, it doesn't mean it's not God's will for you. I mean, David wasn't preparing to be king. He had no clue. He wasn't even thinking about it. He was just out in the field, minding the sheep. And even when they called everybody else to what will be the audition and what will turn out to be the coronation ceremony, he wasn't even invited at first. So he wasn't making preparation. He wasn't thinking about it. He had no clue about it. He wasn't invited, yet he was the chosen one. That's providence. You know, so now just because you are not thinking about it, you're not preparing about it, you knew nothing about it, that doesn't mean it wasn't God's choice. And Mary, who was God's choice to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, a virgin shall conceive, bring forth a child, you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is meaning God with us. Well, she was the chosen one, but she had no clue. She didn't even understand it at first. But yeah, that doesn't matter. She was still the chosen one. Praise the Lord. You know, there are many people like that in the scriptures. Moses was also the chosen one to be the deliverer. But he didn't know it. But God knew it. And he failed in many areas. He even tried. At first, he became a social activist. He saw the injustice and he didn't like it. And he was trying to take matters into his hands. He failed miserably. He ended up killing somebody. He ran away for it for 40 years. Trying to run away from it. But yet he was the chosen one. You know, so the way that providence works is way beyond our thinking. You can't even understand it. See, you can't understand it. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we're told that we were chosen in him before the world began. That's providence. You know, Romans chapter 9 explains providence in the life of, you know, he said, even, you know, Rebecca, when she was pregnant with twins, you know, when the babies had not done anything, was still in her baby, I mean, in her belly, she was told, the elder will serve the younger. That's providence. It's not that they had done anything. They had not done any evil or good. You know, it wasn't that Esau had already done evil. It wasn't that Jacob had already done good. They were still in the baby. I mean, the belly. They were babies. Still in the belly. They were not even born yet. Yet, providence declared how it would turn out. That's providence. It's nothing you can do about it. You know, that's how God wanted it. And that providence will protect and guide that. The destiny is God's predetermined target or end state for something or someone. You know, and that's what we call destiny. It's kind of like destination. It's the same root word, destiny, where you are going. So sometimes we are told that God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, Romans 8:29, he predestinated us. Now, that means he predetermined where we will be and what we will become. That's providence, when we knew nothing about it. And then providence will also continue to watch. It is God's continuous act to protect his purpose in your life. Even before faith came. Even before you knew him. And even during while you knew him. Because sometimes you struggle and you can't do it. And then the mercy of God will kick in. You know, so from beginning till the end, it's providence. Even his mercy, it's still providence. Providence to help you, watch over you, even when your natural strength fails, even when your faith fails. Now, it's not a good thing for us to not have faith. That's not a good thing. We need to have faith. Jesus himself said in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. You got to have faith. You know, I mean, so you can't say, I don't have faith. No, you need to have faith. You know, but what we're saying is, look, sometimes even your faith is not enough. You know, we try everything, but it doesn't. But remember, providence and mercy are there to sustain even your faith. Providence was there before faith came. Mercy will be there when faith fails. And these three together will bring you into a richer and fuller experience with God. Now, you're not here by accident. And some of you say, well, you know, something blew you into this room. No, you know, that's again, that's providence. Providence is actually plays out also for what we call divine appointments and divine arrangements. You know, God will masterfully orchestrate things. And then when we see it play out, and the perfect timing of different things and participants in the thing that don't even understand what God is doing, but God puts it all together perfectly, that's providence. Providence is what's doing all of that. And it will just bring you, it will bring out the will of God. Primarily, providence is God's continuous act and nature, his very nature to protect his will, you know, the will in his eternal purpose, will in his purpose for you, you know, whatever. His providence is there. Before anybody even knew anything about it, providence also made provision. That's also, it's the same root word, you know, providence and provision is to make preparation. A lamb was slain before the world began. That's providence. And God would do that. Even before there was any world created, before there was any Adam or Eve, you know, the Lord already knew all the things and already made the provision. That's providence. Praise the Lord. You know, so I use that to enrich my faith. To say, wow, you know, why then should I doubt? Knowing that God already knows what I'm going through. Now, this is not exactly the same thing as ko sera sera. You just let everything be. Whatever will be, and you just do nothing about it. No, you have to have perfect understanding of all things. Now, once faith came, God expects you to use your faith. You know, so that's how things work. Now, in the days of ignorance, when you didn't have faith, and when you didn't know faith, well, providence was working for you. But now God commands you to use your faith. You have to now use your faith, because now you know him. So you can't just sit down. So now using your faith means when God has promised something, you put your faith in that thing and you walk with his word to bring that thing to pass. It's not that you just sit back and say, well, you know, whatever will be. No. We saw it many times. I mean, Jesus knew that he was Savior before the world began. Yet, you know, I mean, he had to do all these things and he had to pray with agony, blood coming out of his head. Luke 22, verse 44, a sweat, still praying. You know, he had to pray. He said, you know, a pearl of great price. He had to fight for it. He already knew, but he still had to fight for it. And to get you and me, he had to go through all of that. Elijah, God already told him the rain was coming. Perfect example, because he was a man like us. Man. James chapter 5 says he was a man of like passion like us. Yet when God told him the rain was coming, he already knew the rain was coming. Why did he have to pray for the rain? God already told you the rain is coming. And in fact, he told Ahab to get up, go and eat and drink. But he himself did not go up and eat and drink. So these are lessons of life. Just because God told you it's coming doesn't mean you say, well, you know, it's coming. No. You got to get behind it in prayer using your faith. See, God wants us to use our faith. You know, and sometimes the devil will get in there. You know, the devil has his own role too. You know, word of the Lord is tried. The devil has his own role too, to fight that promise. And God, you know, God didn't always intervene. God allows that to happen because he knows that you have your faith and you can use your faith. You know, so between God's promise and the devil fighting it and you using your faith, you know, we're going to see who's going to come out on the winner side. So that's why, you know, we got to pray through and not just sit back and say, well, God already said it's coming to pass and that's it. Maybe so, but not if the devil has something to say about it. And he always will. A devil is always good. The devil came against Jesus himself. So don't you think he's not going to come against you? You know, try to dissuade Jesus, even through Peter. Say, you will not go to the cross. Be he far from you, God. I mean, Lord. And Jesus had to rebuke that devil. Say, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He had to see it, because even trying to dissuade him from going to the cross, you know. So the devil, he'll come against you. The things that God promised, he'll come against you. Make sure you don't get it. You know, but by you using your confidence in these three ways, you know, think of this as confidence three ways. I'm confident in his providence, knowing even my future, because he was there in my past. And before I knew him, before faith came, providence was guiding me. Providence is still guiding you. Today, providence will still guide your steps into certain things. And sometimes the mercy of God, even when we are disobedient, the mercy of God, you know, by, you know, his mercy will still somehow guide us through it. Now, that doesn't give us license for disobedience, but just for you to understand his mercy, how great it is. And so what do we do today? We fall on our faces to worship God once we understand this. Say, ah, Lord, despite all of this. You know, look at some of the things that God had done for you at times. And say, Lord, you know, that's why we weep when we are before the Lord. You know, we just break down to when we recognize, oh, my goodness. Despite all of these things, sometimes my unwillingness, sometimes my disobedience, sometimes even my lack of faith, yet the mercy of God kicks in. And, you know, and sometimes even our rebellion. The Bible says the psalmist said, if God were to mark iniquity, who shall stand? But his mercy covers it all. Glory to God. But we must put your faith. See, you got to put your faith in his providence and his mercy. Let faith be sandwiched between these two things. Take that as a punchline today. Sandwich your faith in between his providence. You understand that his providence knows everything. And you know that, you know, you exercise your faith, he will back it up. Because that's what he wants us to do. But you have this fallback situation. I'm not, you know, thinking that my faith will fail. I know I have faith. I'm going to use my faith. I got to use my faith. But I also understand through life experience that there have been times that even my faith failed, yet the mercy of God kicked in. Because mercy is the greatest attribute towards us in how he deals with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's today's lesson. Put it all together. You know, now we want you to have faith. I have been teaching, practicing faith and teaching it for decades. You know, and that's the legacy I was trying to leave for my kids and leave for my spiritual children as well, is faith. Because that's the thing, you know, after all said and done, Jesus said, but when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? I mean, that's it. That's the thing. You know, faith is the thing. But, you know, a higher grade of understanding is what we are sharing today. There will be times, and there was a small discussion about this at the end of yesterday's lesson. There will be times when even that faith will fail. But his mercy never fails. That's why the scripture says his mercy endureth forever. And no better person than David, you know, to talk about the mercy of the Lord. I mean, he talked about the mercy of the Lord sideways, forwards, backwards, any which way you want. In fact, he wrote a psalm, Psalm 136. You know, the whole psalm. He punctuated every sentence with the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. I mean, that's how great the mercy of the Lord is. And he began to say, you know, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And everything he said, he put for his mercy endureth forever there. Every single sentence. In fact, sometimes he will split a sentence into two and put the mercy of the Lord endureth there. Read that psalm. Beautiful psalm about the mercy of the Lord. Now, once you understand the mercy of the Lord, you know, on the one hand, his providence is there of things that you don't even know about. That's his providence. It's also only in the past. It's still working for you today. That's areas that you have no clue. Providence of God is still working. You know, now when you have knowledge, well, you use your faith. But when you have no knowledge, the providence of God is still working. It is still working for you, even till today. And it will still be working for you till tomorrow. That's God's providence. Now, once you understand faith, though, you must put your faith in his word. And then, you know, later on, you realize that it's not by might, it's not by power, or by my spirit, said the Lord. That's his mercy. Now, when that faith fails, and oftentimes it will fail, not because it flat out fails, but it will struggle, you know. It's not that we flat out don't have any faith, but it's like the story we led, the lesson started out yesterday with Mark chapter 9, verses 23 to 24. That's how we started out the lesson yesterday. The unusual faith, uncommon results, dare to believe lesson started out with that story yesterday, where the man came to Jesus and asked for something because his disciples couldn't do it. And he was, you know, telling Jesus, look, if you can do anything, your disciples couldn't do it, but if you can do anything, you please help us. And Jesus said, well, it's not about me being able to do anything. It's about you believing. So Jesus put it right back on the man to believe. And thank God that the man, he knew that, look, he was trying to believe. But then he asked for help. And this is what we said at the beginning of lesson yesterday. And even at the end, some of the discussion went right back to that. We must trust him and believe him. But even when you're struggling, this man was struggling. It wasn't that he didn't have any faith at all. He was struggling. He said, look, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. You know, why? Because people have tried to cast out the devil. The apostles have tried to do it and they couldn't do it. You know, I mean, the disciples. So, he's believing, but he's struggling. You know, so it's the same thing with us. It's not that we flat out don't believe God. We believe, but sometimes we struggle. You know, we allow voices of reason, voice of doubt, voice of fear, voice of unbelief. It's not that you don't believe outright, but yeah, you struggle. In those cases, you reach out to God and his mercy kicks in. Glory to God. But we also encourage people to become a faith professional. That's right. So all the lessons that we teach, you know, that I try to share with people, is they are designed to make you become a faith SME, subject matter expert, you know, so that the profession of your faith is not wishy-washy, is not perhaps, maybe, but it's yay and amen in Christ Jesus. That's all the Bible says, promises of God. Your faith also. You practice your faith, you walk out the formula, you know it works. You put your faith in his providence, you put your faith in his word, you put your faith in his mercy. Those three things together will get you through all the time. You know, so that's what we do in a faith lab. We practice it. We practice. So ladies and gentlemen, that's a summary of our lesson today. Let me wrap it up here. Three ways. Confidence in these three ways. Put your faith in his providence that he already knows. And he made provision even before you got there. Put your faith in his word and put your faith in his mercy. One way or another, have your faith sandwiched between his providence and his mercy, you will come out on top. And even if it looks like it's not looking like what you are believing God for at the moment, well, that's just the moment. It's not over yet. And it's not over yet. It's never over. God always has one more move that he can pull up. And when the devil thinks he got your back against the Red Sea, and that's Pharaoh charging down Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh laughing in his heart, say, aha, finally, I got them right where I want them. Thinking that Moses, your God, is a poor general. Just look at where he led you. You have no place to go. Pharaoh was a man of war. He won many battles, but not against the Lord. You know, so thinking all of that, well, you know, God has one more move, how he's going to save the day. And God always, you know, look at all the times that mercy kicked in, even when people had given up hope. The widow at Zarephath, she had given up hope. He said, look, I'm gathering two sticks and I'm going to break the last piece of meal I have with flour, make a little piece of bread. My son and I will hug him, we'll eat it, and we're going to die. But there's nothing else. She had lost hope. But God, I made provision. In allowing the brook to dry up, he sent Elijah there. You know, and even though it looked as if Elijah was going to be sustained by the woman, which is what God said, God was going to sustain the woman as well. Two for one, you might say it that way. You know, and the woman didn't know anything about it, but God knew. Elijah didn't know anything about it at first, but when God told him, then he figured it out. But yet, she had lost hope, but God came through. And many stories like that where people have lost hope and God comes through. You know, they've lost hope. You know, this woman, you know, in the case of Elijah, she lost hope. She was desperate. The creditors have come. They're going to take my sons because we can't pay our bills. My husband, who loved the Lord, served the Lord, he's dead. Was a breadwinner. We have nothing. She had lost hope. But God came through by the word of the prophet. What do you have in the house? She said. He said. And she said, told him. And then he told her what to do with it. Praise the Lord. And, you know, she lived many days. And God, she fixed how up she was able to pay her bills. started a small business selling the oil, getting money and all of that. And it was cool. God took care of it. I mean, every situation like that. Praise God. And when the devil had Lazarus in the grave, even when the sister lost hope, said, well, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know. And now you show up when we've already buried him, all this crying and so forth that we did for days. Well, God still has one more move that he can pull up. Because he's God of all creation, God of nature, God over death, God over the grave, God over everything. Can do it too. And he can pull it up. Praise God. You know. And no matter what situation is, how bad it is, even when we think all hope is gone, you know, there was a thief on the cross. I mean, in the last moment, God pulled him out of the pangs of death, spiritual death. And Jesus saved his soul because he put his faith in the Lord, even in the last minute. You know, and that's the grace of God right there, the mercy of God. And so on and on and on we can go. But I'm going to leave it there. So I'll pray that the Lord give you understanding of how to powerfully enrich your faith by sandwiching it between the knowledge of God's providence and the understanding of his mercy. You know, when you can put it in between those two things, put your faith in his providence, and he already knows the situation. He knew it before faith came into your life. He knows it now for the future. You know, put your faith in his word and then put your faith in his mercy. That where faith goes so far, mercy of God will kick in. And between those three perspectives, you will always have the victory for an answer of peace. Father, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We have shared your word, and I pray that you give everyone understanding concerning these things to know how that you have foreseen the situation that we are in now. You foresaw it in the past. The situation that's going to happen to us later, you foreseen it now. Providence working. And Lord, we put our faith in your word and know also that mercy is always a backup. Mercy will pick me up even when my faith fails. Glory to God. I thank you for the mercy of God. I thank you for your providence. And I thank you for faith that you have given to us. Say, everybody has been dealt a measure of faith. You've given this to us. And we can only put your faith, put our faith in your providence and put our faith in your word and put our faith in your mercy. We will always come out on top. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. Give us this understanding. Thank you for this understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.